Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the day is starting off good for you and treating you right on this April 11th, 2023. Happy Tuesday, everybody. 9:05 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning. Good morning.
And we are joined right now by our good friend, Terry Hummus. She is joining us about with the Central Wisconsin Gift of Life. We're going to talk about the event coming up. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
How have you been?
Great. Good. Great. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you back. Always good to have you in studio with us and to be able to talk about this great event. I can't believe we're already here already. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago the last time.
It doesn't. It sneaks up on you pretty quickly.
Terry, let's get into what this event is for and what the event is and some of the details of it. First off, the Central Wisconsin Gift of Life works to raise awareness and funds for some great causes.
Exactly. The Gift of Life consists of organ and tissue recipients, living organ donors, organ and tissue donor families, and others who simply have a passion for the cause.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting the information out about organ donation. And the money that gets raised here goes down to Madison, to Middleton, to the Restore Hope Transplant House, which is located in Middleton. If anybody has ever had an experience to go there, you need to go there just to visit it. It's all through donation. And also some money does go to the University of Wisconsin and their cause there. As of last year, at the end of the hunt, we had donated over $100,000.
Wow.
Wow. Dang.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So the event will be on the 22nd, and what the event consists of is you make up a team. Teams consist of 4 to 6 people, and they are asked to perform various tasks or find various items. You are giving a list that morning. There are only 2 people in the group that are aware of what's on this list. And so everyone gets a list at the same time, and then it's just a mad rush. And you have 4 hours to complete these tasks or find these items on this list.
Nice. Wow. Okay. That's a good time crunch, right? It's a good, nice amount of time, but not too much time.
Oh, you are exhausted when you are done.
I can't imagine.
How many tasks are there?
There are roughly between 200 to 300.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. We at this time, myself, because I do have a team involved, I have no idea.
Okay.
So like I said, you do not see the list. And everybody is given a bag with this list. You pull the list out. They take a group picture. You are given your bag. You pull your list out. And
off you go.
Everybody has their own strategy. Every team has their own strategy. Right now, we are looking at approximately 40 teams.
Wow.
So that's looking. And these are teams that come from Central Wisconsin, out of state. So you are looking at 200 to 250 people running around town looking for these items.
That's cool. So can you give me an example of what like what one of these were like in the past?
So an example of something that might like might be on the list is everything involves taking a picture with your phone.
Okay.
Or gathering something. Take a picture of your team with live ducks. Take a picture of your team on a teeter-totter.
Yeah, nice, yeah, yeah.
They try to involve the sponsors who sponsor the or sponsor the event as much as they can. So it might be 1 year it was talking to someone at Quick Trip about organ donation, showing them that you are an organ donor, or find someone who is in an who is an organ donor.
Cool.
That is very cool. And when it comes to this event, this is of course taking place in the Wisconsin Rapids area. Will people have to travel very far to complete this list? Can all this be done in our surrounding area?
This can be done in the surrounding area.
Cool.
There are tasks that may take place in Nakusa, Port Edwards, Wisconsin Rapids, Vesper sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's within the immediate area.
Yeah, you're not driving to Detroit.
You're not wasting your 4 hours driving to Madison and back to
smart move by
to
you
take
guys.
A picture
smart,
by
smart move.
Yes.
Did you have something, Melissa?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, why don't we go over some of the rules here so people get an idea of what they're walking into here with us.
So they obviously need a vehicle.
They obviously need a vehicle, and everyone needs to fit in the one vehicle.
Okay.
So that's why the limit is 4 to 6.
Gotcha.
Pictures will be taken either you'll take a picture as a team or a group. You can have a driver if you like. That's not part of the team, but you all need to fit into one vehicle. You must have a current driver's license and obviously have insurance on your vehicle. Mm. Seatbelts must be worn at all times.
Good rule.
You need to obey the traffic signals and adhere to the speed limits. Theft or property damage will not be allowed, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to make this a fun event for everybody.
Yeah. Yes, and the area.
And the area. We want the area to welcome us back.
Right.
And for nine years, they have done that.
Yes.
Can residents tell this is going on?
Yes, because there will be, in the past, there have been things where you can look for a house number, say it'd be 321. And you need to take a picture, so you'll go up and ask the homeowner if they're home.
You'll be
courteous about this and say, hey, I'd like to take a picture. This is what we're doing. Some of the tasks are explaining what organ donation does.
Right, exactly. I mean, I was just thinking, what an awesome way of going almost door-to-door, getting awareness.
Outreach.
Yeah,
yes.
Good work.
So it is. It is the whole idea behind the scavenger hunt is to reaching out to people and spreading the news.
That's great.
And the consistent size of the teams makes a lot of sense too. And more and more you hear about it and everything. That is cool.
Only legal number of passengers in each car. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want people showing up with a minibus.
No, don't need a clown car pulling up with like 50 people popping out of there.
They do also encourage teams to decorate their vehicles so that they are recognized out in the community as to what they're doing. And everyone will have matching shirts, most likely, because as part of your contribution, you get a shirt.
I saw that up there. $25 per person, and if you do it by April 3rd, you get the T-shirt.
Right. But we still are taking registrations. Now it'll be up to 35 after April 3rd for teams, and they provide a light lunch at the end. There is door prizes, raffle prizes, baskets galore that they raffle off. If you just want to come and donate to a basket, you are welcome to come do that. We are still looking for sponsors to donate to baskets if anyone's interested in that. One thing about when you're out on the hunt, they all need to be back to the Ridges. Ridges has been gracious again to donate their facility for this event. They need to be back by 3 o'clock with their items, with their completed list, or as many tasks as they could complete. If you're not back by 3, your team will be disqualified.
Okay.
Unfortunately, because we can't stay there all night waiting for everybody.
Yeah, you got to have rules.
You got to have a timeline.
You got to be able to get home eventually here.
But like I say, at the end, you are exhausted. It is a fun-filled day. Anybody of any age can participate.
Nice. As long as they have a licensed driver.
As long as they have a licensed driver, yes.
Terry, how long does it take to plan something like this? Is this one of those things like for next year's that's already being planned? Like, it seems like something that it takes at least a year to really get to where we are right now.
Yes. And it's getting to be like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Because this, like I say, is the ninth year. As soon as this one wraps up, we'll be looking for a date for next year, talking with the Ridges again. Mm-hmm. Hey, what dates you have open? Because obviously they book up for big events. Like I say, we're almost getting to the point where we're outgrowing them. They are very gracious to us and give us both rooms, you know, give us as much space as we need. They enjoy participating. They come up with a specialty drink.
Oh, of course.
Cool.
Yeah.
for the event. So it is something that the community has embraced.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they enjoy seeing this, I guess, foolishness going on as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Let's go over the details one more time for people. This is going to be taking place on Saturday, April 22nd. If people want to register, how can they do that?
How they can register is they can go on the webpage is www.centralwisconsingifttolife.org. There's a form out there. They can search us on Facebook. You can find a form out there as well, or you can email cwgiftoflife@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. This is, Terry mentioned, this is all taking place at the wonderful Ridges Golf Course in Wisconsin Rapids. It's saying good morning to all of our friends at the Ridges. It's going to be $25 a person by April 3rd. So, okay, $35 per person now. So that's something to keep in mind, too.
Mm-hmm.
That includes the scavenger hunt and light dinner, something to keep in mind as well. You know you're going to have a good dinner over at the Ridges. That's always a given. And Terry, I can't thank you enough for not only being in studio with us today, but for so many of the details you bring to us with this. You started off with talking about the money that's raised for this and how it stays in state, where it goes. Transparency is so important with things like this, and I appreciate that always. And it's kind of, I think, cool for people to understand that, hey, this is staying in state, or this is that kind of thing. I don't know. I think that we, in a good way, have kind of normalized this, but it doesn't ever get old to me that it's one of the greatest things you can do as a human being. When you think about what we have done with organ donation and how we have kind of like normalized this amazing miracle thing that we're able to pull off. I don't know this person, but I'm giving them an organ. Like, I'm giving them literally a piece of myself. Like, it's remarkable what we do and what can be done when we have that kind of empathy, when we care about each other.
Well, and the thing with organ donation, it's not just organs. We've had situations where, you know, people have passed, their organs are no longer able to be used, but mm-hmm. yet they can give the gift of sight with their eyes. They can mm-hmm. help burn victims with their skin.
Yeah.
They're literally every part of your body could be reused.
Yeah.
And the thing that's coming out more and more is like, not us everyday people, but just even more people that like sports
mm-hmm.
figures that have used pieces.
Yes, yes.
Muscles or mm-hmm. what it may be to help, you know, prolong their careers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Aaron Rodgers being one of them.
Yeah, yeah. It's just amazing what we're able to do, what we're able to pull off. I from a young age, I've always, since I've had a license, I've been an organ donor and open to that. I was told recently, though, they do not want my funny bone. They have no interest in that. I'm not sure. You know, I
get it.
Already
turned you down for that,
yeah,
James.
Yeah, I get it. I kind of get that one. I understand. That's pretty understandable. Terry, do we have some sponsors we want to mention?
Some of the sponsors, yes, we have the Ridges, of course.
Mm-hmm.
This year, Current Technologies is sponsoring the poker run. We're calling it the double poker run. We're changing it up a little bit this year. We're not going to put too many details out on it.
Mm.
But like last year, we had a poker run. We decided to enhance it this year. And those details will not be released till the day
of the event. That's going
to
be cool. That's cool. Nicely done.
Quick Trip has always been very good to us in helping mm-hmm. us out. They are helping out with some treats and water and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we could list just about everyone in town because everyone is getting behind this. It is
That's
just,
awesome.
You know, whether it be just a gift certificate, Rocky Rococo's, Polito's. All of those have been very gracious to us.
If you'd like to learn more, if you'd like to register, you can go to centralwisconsingiftoflife.org. That's all one word, centralwisconsingiftoflife.org. You can fill it out there. There's
you can also be a sponsor.
Yes.
We are still looking for sponsors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I have one more question. Because you said there's like 200 things on this list. Has anybody ever completed all of them?
Mm.
They've never let out if everybody's completed every single task.
Interesting, interesting. Oh, we'll see. Maybe this is the year.
You know, it may be that tasks may come back up on future hunts.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't keep lists from year to year to year to
we'll
know
see.
What's
maybe
on there.
Maybe this is the year.
Some of the things that they've asked just kind of stick out in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, finding a particular billboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing is, in your time frame, you're just like, I know I've seen that. I know I've seen that somewhere. 2 days later, you're driving by, oh,
there it is.
Yeah,
there
of course,
is.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, got gas? Yeah, there's the billboard. You know?
Nice. We wish happy hunting to everybody, all the teams. Be a sponsor, be a team, be involved, and help out Terry and the gang here with this. It's a great event. We really appreciate you joining us, Terry. Thanks again for the time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me in.
Again, CentralWisconsinGiftOfLife.org is the website, CentralWisconsinGiftOfLife.org. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and have some more morning show for you here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James here with you. Again, a big thank you to Terry Hummus for joining us at the Central Wisconsin Gift of Life event coming up. It was a lot of fun talking about that.
That sounds like a great event.
Want to get into some entertainment news. Netflix announced there is an animated series in the works that's set in the world of Stranger Things.
Really?
It'll be in the style of Saturday morning cartoons from the 80s, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Jim and the Holograms or Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense since it's set in the 80s.
Right, that's very smart on their part. I genuinely think that's the, you know, because it's a good show, well-written, good directed, very amazing cast.
Yes, the actors were great.
But I think the thing that pulled in a lot of the fringe people was the 80s
nostalgia.
And nostalgia. Yeah, No word if any of the cast of Stranger Things will have voice roles or if the characters will be included. Plot details haven't been announced yet. If they do have characters from the show, I don't have them unless they can be voiced by the real people.
I would say so too.
I will never forgive the creators of the Ghostbusters cartoons. As a kid, I was so excited. The Ghostbuster cartoon, awesome. I'm going to see Venkman and all these characters and everything. And then they have them and they don't look anything like they do in the movies. Mm-hmm. And they did not have any of the good voice. Like the voices didn't match up. Like Bill Murray's voice couldn't have been farther away from Bill Murray's voice or whatever. It drove me crazy as a kid. I hated that. Interesting to see what they're doing. One of the greatest signs of a show and success of a show is, say, you start out with these four main characters, and then as you slowly build the show, you create more and more characters that the audience cares about. You know, characters that aren't in every episode or something, but you look forward to seeing.
Right.
It's the sign of a healthy show, a good show, and all that. The other sign is the spinoff. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, the All in the Family leading to the Jeffersons, that kind of thing. Cheers leading to Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
And if Stranger Things, if it leads to a sitcom of the similar thing in a cartoon version, that's it wouldn't surprise me because of the popularity of this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I do really like the look they're going with, too, of the animation. Because the cartoons don't look like they used to. And I kind of miss that.
Me too. Yeah, I hear you. Marvel just announced a little while ago, they're doing a series of the X-Men 97, going back to the 97 cartoon, but they're all going to be new. But they're using the same animation and the same animators and all that. Like,
that's cool.
It's so smart.
Like, it is smart, because especially people our age, cartoons are iconic with that the look of that.
Cartoons are one of those palate cleansers to me too. Like adult cartoons, there's something calming about them, or there's something like that to me. I think sometimes. Unfortunately, Russell Crowe's new movie, The Pope's Exorcist, is based on the supposed true story of a priest who performed exorcisms for the Vatican. He was the personal Pope's exorcist. When I first saw the movie being made, I wanted to look into this and see if it was something that was far-fetched or if it was actually true, and it is actually true. The Pope, many decades, many popes have had an exorcist as on call, if you will, to put it lightly.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
Unfortunately, that hasn't earned it the endorsement of the International Association of Exorcists. That's an actual group.
Know that there was that.
Yeah, I did. I'm just finding out. They've only seen the trailer, and they are not impressed. They say the movie doesn't give a reliable picture of, quote, such a delicate and relevant topic. Instead, its purpose is to arouse and strong and unhealthy emotions such as anxiety, relentlessness, and fear. They also think the movie will, quote, instill the conviction that exorcism is abnormal, monstrous, and frightening phenomenon, which is the exact opposite of what occurs in the content of exorcism. So I don't begrudge anybody from an industry. If I watch... I mentioned Frasier before. One thing I liked about Frasier was they traded Frasier, like they filmed it and they did it pretty realistic, I think, towards radio. It was fairly, you know, close to that. A little more than I had seen, like maybe in WKRP in Cincinnati, where like half the time nobody had headphones on. They were never even really talking into a mic, you know, that kind of thing. So I would be one of the first people to say I look for some reality in my fantasy. But it's also... like, it's a fantasy.
It's a movie.
Yeah. There's none of these people that are actual exorcists that don't know what the movie The Exorcist exists.
Right.
Like, they don't know that horror movies exist.
This is not a docudrama.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a horror movie.
Like, you come
out... I mean, is it horror?
It is. Yes.
Okay,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, it is a horror
then
movie.
Then it's a horror movie.
It says that it's got things loosely based on true events, you know, which is the way that we play our cards safe and everything nowadays because we don't want to get sued.
Right.
So I get it. If it's coming out as a doc, you know, a documentary or something, then sure. But otherwise, I mean, I think that this is an opportunity, if you are part of this organization, to bring awareness to the subject and everything. I don't begrudge them of that, especially considering...
an awareness of their organization.
Yeah.
Like, how does one get into that organization?
I mean, how do you even, like, are there little kids growing up, like, I want to be an exorcist one day. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
But I'm the subject itself. I mean, someone possessed by a demon.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can... do what they said you're supposed to.
Yeah, like, the idea that it creates strong and unhealthy emotions like anxiety, relentlessness, and restlessness and fear. I would think that if you were being possessed, that's stuff that you would already be feeling. Like,
thinking about somebody being possessed. I think that's pretty normal to feel that way.
And again, it is a horror movie. I mean,
that's kind of the point of why people watch horror movies.
Yeah,
I think. I don't know because I don't watch them.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I don't like them. I don't like feeling anxious and restless and whatever else you said.
Interesting. Let's see here.
The takeaway is that now we know that there is an organization of professional exorcists.
There you go. This is interesting. Metallica is challenging high school and college level marching bands to a competition using their music.
Really?
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Winners will receive instruments and equipment for their school's program.
Nice. Way to go, Metallica.
Yeah, that is pretty hardcore.
Like, I might actually have to become a fan.
That is pretty cool. Bands who enter will have access to the sheet music for 13 songs that Metallica has chosen, including For Whom the Bell Tolls, Fade to Black, and, of course, Enter Sandman. There are 5 different categories. Collegiate Division 1, that's for $75,000. Collegiate Division 2 and 3, $40,000 each. High school level, $15,000. And fan voting categories for both collegiate and high school for about $10,000 each.
Wow. Cool.
Submissions will be narrowed down to 5 finalists for professional judges, with Metallica choosing the final prize winner. But fan favorite winners will be chosen by, of course, the fans.
The fans. That's cool.
Bands must send in their video submission by November 16th, and voting starts on the 17th.
Awesome.
Winners will be announced on December 1st. For more information, head to MetallicaMarchingBand.com. Glad they got that website, I'm sure.
Yeah.
MetallicaMarchingBand.com.
That is really, really awesome. And super cool of those guys to, you know, I say guys loosely, I don't even know.
It is. Yeah.
to give back and to promote music.
Most of those guys, if not all of them, you know, got their start playing music in a band, in a high school band, you know, and I think that's such a cool way of giving back while also like helping support music, support young artists, putting an instrument in the kid's hand. And maybe they don't go on to play that instrument professionally, but the work ethic you learn from learning an instrument, you can apply to everything in life. Yeah. Like, and it's fun. It's a nice release.
Well, it's great to do as a team. And marching band is is really cool.
Yeah.
We had an awesome marching band teacher at TOMA when I was there, Charlie O'Brien, and he did just great things with the band. Mm. They enjoyed that so much. He was probably the favorite teacher when I was there.
That's a pretty cool thing. Nice job, Metallica. Nice job. Yeah. I want to see other bands do this too, though.
Yeah.
I want to see like all kinds of bands doing this kind of
Why
stuff.
Why wouldn't a band want to see their music played by a marching band?
Right?
I mean, that part is really cool too. And how fun for those kids. Well, we're not playing Bach today. We're playing Metallica.
Yeah. This seems pretty cool. That seems pretty cool. We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. But again, that website, MetallicaMarchingBand.com, go ahead and go there. And be sure to spread the word to this to all of our high schools and everything.
For sure.
Get all of our local high schools involved.
Let band teachers know.
Yes, yes. It should be fun. I'm going to be following that story. I look forward to seeing how that develops. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:39 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. We got some fun stuff to take you to the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Going to get to, and I want to touch on this one right here, Melissa. Actually, you know what I'm talking about because you sent it to me.
I did, because I thought this was so weird.
Big thank you to Melissa for that. And of course, a thank you to our friends at Channel 9, WAOW, Emily Ness with a nice reporting on this. The headline, Woman Uses Dating Apps to Reach Voters in Wisconsin. Advances in technology have made love at first sight possible at a first swipe for many, but one woman isn't just looking to swipe right on Mr. Right, she's also looking to swipe right on men she can encourage to vote. Quote, this is the biggest, most civically engaged generation in American history, so we need to make sure that that's reflected in overall turnout, Christy Johnson said. Johnson is just one of just thousands of people with Next Gen America, an organization dedicated to raising voter turnout among young people nationwide. They spent the months leading up to the spring election doing outreach via dating apps.
I just think it's funny.
It is pretty funny, isn't it? We started dating app organization in 2020 when our efforts completely went viral because of the pandemic. We see that a lot of young people are still on Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, so we wanted to make sure that we were covering all our bases and meeting people in every space we could. The group does not campaign for any particular candidate or parties. They simply want people to vote. Keep that in mind.
So this, because when I read that headline, I was like, this ain't right.
Right.
That was my instant gut reaction. But after reading the article, I was like, actually, this is kind of cool. Especially when you read the response from the people who interacted with her.
As far as that goes and everything, Johnson, who is based in California but is a Packers fan, was excited to do outreach in Wisconsin. She said, quote, I do have a picture in a cheesehead, said, quote, and I have one prompt that says, Aaron Rodgers might leave you, but I never would. It's a good line. It's a good line.
Good line.
She said the main cities they focused on were Madison, Green Bay, and Milwaukee. And, quote, in terms of checking the pulse of political landscape in Wisconsin right now, there's no other way to do it than being on a dating app. Unconventional as Johnson's methods may be, it has been a hit for some. Noah Turek, who matched with Johnson, said he appreciated her drive. Quote, it was definitely refreshing. I mean, she's obviously has a lot of passion for it. He added that an interaction like this was more thoughtful than some of the other ways that people have conducted voter outreach.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually more personal and actually hit on the more tone. Quote, the texts and calls are extremely impersonal because they're bots. And then the people coming up to you, their main goal is to try to sway you as if you didn't already have some sort of perspective on it. So for her to come and ask me where I stood with things, it was very personable.
Yeah.
In addition to registering people to vote, Johnson said that she was also able to secure some new volunteers for Next Gen America. quote, they'll respond and say, this is creative. This is innovative. I respect this. Johnson also shared that she knows of one couple who found love through voter outreach efforts.
That's funny.
Made my romantic heart happy.
Dating app meets voter turnout. It's just funny.
So it's a funny story, but to be honest with you, I wasn't sure if we were going to do it either, in part because of what you said about the headline. Mm-hmm. And then once I read the article, I still felt it was a good article, but we're a couple of weeks away from the, you know, after the election right. and everything. But then Scott Walker had to come out and talk about young voters and why Republicans didn't do well in the most recent election and everything. And his comments on this were, well, you know, we saw the outreach. We saw overwhelmingly young people voting in this election and the last election, election before that. And his assumption is that young people aren't smart, aren't informed enough, and they're being misswayed by the evil media. Ooh, the media's turning them this way, as if there isn't a billion outlets right now. And every single young person knows about those outlets better than I do, better than Scott Walker knows. like there wasn't a young, like there wasn't this, this wasn't a possibility to like the 20s or the 40s or the 50s. Like, you think social media is it, like, this is the first time we've had something like this? We passed notes in class. We've always communicated with each other. It's always been a small world. Mm-hmm. It is a lot more now. There is certainly a lot more information out there now. So you're telling me young people being informed is bad? You're telling me young people having access to information right at their hands. Now, I read an article, hey, polka dots cause cancer. Well, that doesn't seem like it made sense. I should look into this. And right. then I do some homework and realize polka dots don't cause cancer. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think young people can't do that? Like, young people don't take the two steps? His idea is that young people are so misinformed and so skewed by the media that they are uninformed.
Well, he also went further than that and talked about schools. And I can't personally speak to, because I really didn't pay attention to politics when Walker was governor here. Yeah. So I can't say that he specifically did things that hurt funding for schools, because I don't know. But we do know that overall there have been efforts in Wisconsin specifically to take funding away from public schools.
Yeah, Scott Walker, throughout his run, I did pay attention, and I don't think he cared a darn about kids.
Well,
I don't think he cared about education at all.
Or teachers with
yes,
Act 10.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So,
if a teacher's had enough money to put in his pocket, then he might have cared. But, right. you know, as it was, no.
So, the issue with this is that we need to bring it to the local level. We need to focus on our backyard. Talk to teachers in schools. Talk to your children. They're smart. I don't care what Scott Walker says. Kids are smart.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be informed. And to say that the reason they didn't win is because of young people?
Yeah.
Well, what does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean,
Scott Walker.
Yeah.
Are you doing something wrong, maybe?
I've asked some of our representatives, how do you take, what do you feel after this election? What do you take from it and everything? Did you learn from it? Did you see anything? Like, I'm not saying like this is the first time I've done this. I've asked Democrats, I've asked Republicans. Okay, your side lost pretty handedly here. What do you take from this? And it's never, well, we're gonna listen to the people. We're gonna hear what they said. We're gonna see what we're doing, you know, that maybe we could reach people differently, or how do we reach none of that stuff. It's so, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. On to the next election. Like, that's all it is. It's none of this. Well, there's no self-awareness. There's no, well, maybe we did something wrong. God forbid anybody admits that they made a mistake or something like that. It's never there's never any accountability. Do you notice this? Especially, and again, not an RRD thing. It's a mm-hmm. politician thing.
Yeah.
Never any accountability. Everybody wants to push blame. Nobody wants to take on anything. Like, own your stuff. Own your life. Own your politics.
Well, and if elections are telling them this, what they work for the people. They work for the people. That's us. If we can't tell them with elections, then what do we do
outside of exactly?
That's the only thing we can do
outside of, you know, obviously voter integrity and all, you know, voter fraud or something like that. You got
which
your answer.
Is very, very minuscule.
Very minuscule. But I just have to include it. Have to include yeah. it nowadays. But outside of that, you have your answers. You want to know what the people think, what the people feel? We just gave it to you. We voted. We voted in droves. We voted in masses. And I don't think that's slowing down. I think the days of getting less than 60% of the national vote are over.
Look what just happened for a spring election, not a presidential year, for a Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this, Scott Walker ain't running for anything anymore. You could tell. Like, why does he always look like he's about to sneeze, too? Like, he always has that look. I don't get it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you all are having a great Tuesday out there. Melissa and James here with you. Going to take you to the top of the hour. Well, we'll kick off more afterwards, after CBS News. About 10:05, we'll kick off Morning Magazine for the week. In part one, we're welcoming in our good friend Katie Wright from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, good. She'll fill you in.
We love hanging out with Katie. And in part two, one of our favorite episodes all month long, Let's Talk Real Estate with J.R. Seward and Cole Banker, Seward Realtors.
Nice.
First, though, we got to get to a Danny Wright story, then some good stories of the day. And like many of our good stories, we go to Florida. We
good, say good stories?
Danny Wright story, sorry.
You had me confused for a second, James.
We do have good stories out of Florida, though, too.
Of course we do.
Of course, where would we be without our Danny Wright stories from Florida? We say good morning to our friends in the Miami area and the Tampa area. If you're stealing something that requires assembly, it's probably a good idea to wait until you're away from the scene of the crime to put it together.
Yeah.
But what if the thing you stole is your getaway vehicle?
Dun, dun, dun. It needed assembly.
A 28-year-old man in Florida, 28, that is way too old for this. A 28-year-old man in Florida was arrested after shoplifting a $540 Razor electric scooter from Target. Surveillance footage shows the man going into the Target at around noon last Monday, putting the scooter in a cart and rolling it outside without paying for it. An employee saw it happen and called the police. When the cops showed up, the man was still on the sidewalk outside the store assembling the scooter. He didn't have a car, so he apparently wanted to put the scooter together and then make the big getaway.
Well, okay, but he also had it in a cart. Did he not want to, he couldn't steal the cart and at least go around the corner?
Look, you got to cut your losses at a certain point, man, and get in that cart and just hope for a hill. just hope a hill to take you somewhere or something like that. Like,
wow.
This is one of those like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. ideas. Like,
except it happened at noon.
Yeah. But I got the perfect crime. I'm going to steal the scooter and then I'm going to ride the scooter to get away. Oh, this will work masterfully. And then he gets
it's
the box.
It's not assembled in the box. Should have taken the floor model.
Oh, I needed this. Crime is not funny. We shouldn't laugh at it, but this is hilarious.
It is.
This is funny.
The mastermind behind this crime.
He was arrested for shoplifting and possession of drugs. Oh, shocker. and he reportedly told the police that he was grabbing the scooter because he needed a way to get around. So he did have sort of a defense to this, but that doesn't make you...
It doesn't make it okay to steal it.
Yeah, I've never really asked Sheriff Becker this, but I am kind of curious of like how many times somebody tries to like explain to you, no, I did it for this reason, and like that's going to make it okay. Like there's nothing you can say. There's no excuse under the sun that's going to be okay for breaking a law. There's no, I had to feed my kid, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing that you can say. I mean, they've got a job to do. I'm not, it is the way it is.
And that's when, it has to go to court and why we appreciate lawyers today.
Yeah, nicely done. Full circle. Well done. Get to some good stories of the day now. A dad in northern Canada found out his 16-year-old son needed a kidney transplant and lost 79 pounds so he could be the organ donor.
Wow, I saw that headline. That's really cool.
Yeah. He was 274 pounds and had to get under 200. And he now he's now down around 195 and got approved last month. The surgery is happening in June.
So not only saving his son's life, but also improving his own health.
Yeah. Yeah, a pretty big win right there.
Mm-hmm.
I had to include this one with, of course, having Terry on with us today. Mm-hmm. And again, that website that Terry and us were talking about, Central Wisconsin Gift of Life.com. It's all
org.
.org. Sorry. Mm-hmm. All one word, .org, Central Wisconsin Gift of Life.org.
Yes.
A woman in California gave her grandson a $10 lottery ticket for his 18th birthday, and it hit for $1 million.
Whoa.
It's a ticket made specifically for gift giving. There's a bow printed on it and the words, "The perfect gift." He didn't even have a license or an ID yet, so he had to go get one before he could cash the ticket.
Wow.
He says he's pretty stoked about it, and he plans to use some of the money for college and save the rest.
Awesome. That's quite the $10 gift. Yikes.
Grandmothers, grandfathers, some of the most giving, loving, wonderful creatures under the sun. You can't ask for much more love than you get from a grandma or grandpa.
Right.
But did she have a moment there was like, oh, I should have kept that one.
Well, the impressive thing is that it's marketed as a gift to give, and,
yeah,
and it's actually, you know, $1 million. That's a pretty, like, you'd think they'd be like 50, 100,
yeah,
maybe 200,
yeah,
maybe 500,
a
but a million?
That's going to pay for at least a semester of college.
Nice, James.
Cops in New York rescued a dog that they found in the sewer and named him Leonardo after the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, perfect.
He's now up for, he's being put up for adoption, and he has some good chances for it.
Oh, yeah.
Leonardo is my favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. That's awesome.
Mine too, mostly because I liked his name.
Yeah, it's a great name. Leonardo, great name. A woman in Kentucky dropped her Volvo off at a mechanic after hours last month and left the keys in a Dropbox outside. Then thieves broke into the Dropbox overnight and stole two cars, including hers. But a good Samaritan eventually helped her get it back. She got a call from a weird number. Turned out the thieves abandoned her car, and a random guy saw it parked with the windows down while it was raining. So he thought that was weird. Found a business card inside, tracked her down, and she got her car back.
Wow.
Unfortunately, all her belongings were gone, but cops eventually found the other stolen car, and almost all of her stuff was in that one.
Oh.
The only things she didn't get back were some folding chairs that she had.
Folding chairs. Well, those are replaceable.
And that's pretty good, you know, considering.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And way to go. I feel like it's only Tuesday. We've already done like two or three good stories about Good Samaritans, strangers helping strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in I don't know, in the last year or so, we've had more and more of these stories of that, of strangers helping strangers. It's another one of these things where if all you do is watch, you know, news, TV news and everything, you'd think this world hates each other. Everybody hates everybody. That's not the case. There is a lot of division, yes, but I think that a lot of us have grown a lot in the last 10 years or so, or last 5, 6 years, however you want to look at it. And I genuinely believe that most human beings, I'm not saying everybody wants to sing kumbaya together.
No.
But they don't want to kill each other. Like, it doesn't have to be these extremes. I think we can, you know, for many, 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 many decades, we all lived along each other and we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's easy to get focused on the negativity, but there, like you like to say, James, there is so much more that brings us together and makes us not the same, but
connected.
Connected. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and this is something whether you like it or not. You know, it's a little like getting the great traits from your parents and also the kind of a tougher
not great
ones.
Traits,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. But you know, don't stand too close to somebody on an elevator.
Yeah,
that's just rude.
I think that that's what you should take from this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, if you take that from this episode, we've done our job.
I think we've helped the world.
Another good story of the day. We have calendars.
Ooh.
We have Lincoln High School pride calendars here.
Rapids with pride.
Yeah. Girls soccer, golf, boys tennis, girls track and field, boys track and field, softball, baseball. All these schedules are right here on here for you. Come stop by the studios and pick them up anytime. Say hi to Pam while you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine any day now we'll be getting rafter schedules.
Yeah.
So
and you don't
want
to miss any games.
No, no. Oh, it's going to be a very good season for rafter baseball. I've been doing a lot of scouting and a lot of talking with some of the people over there and everything, and they got some really good expectations for this season.
Awesome.
Got some good ideas, too. We're going to be talking about rafter baseball as we get closer to the season because, of course, we are your home for the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Every pitch, every hit, every win of rafter baseball right here at WFHR. Melissa, have a great day.
You too, James.
Stick around for Morning Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.